Hi, my name's Sandy and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sandy.
It was a bit of a surprise that I'm speaking tonight, so I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say. My story is not that different from so many others that have come through these doors. Some of the details may be different, but certainly what led me to these rooms and what's kept me here, I think, is common to almost all of us. I don't remember the first time I picked up a drink. I don't remember anything terribly bad happening. I don't even recall liking the taste. But somewhere in my teenage years, that changed. It became that I loved to go to the bar, and that's all I wanted to do. And I didn't think back then that that was an issue. I thought it was pretty normal. I didn't think that it was a problem that I was hiding my drinking and lying about it so I could get to the bar. It wasn't a fancy place. It was just a tavern next to the McDonald's where I used to work, and I'd finish my shift at 7 and close it, and close the tavern, you know, 12:30 at night. All this while I was in high school. It made me feel that I could accomplish anything. It made me feel that I fit in, and if I didn't fit in, then I didn't care. It gave me all those senses. All those emotions. And it may have made me feel like I could accomplish anything, but I never did. I spent my time in the bar. I spent my money in the bar, either playing pool very poorly or drinking copious amounts of alcohol. By the time I was 20 or 21, it had been suggested by my friends, and these were the guys I had drinking competitions with, that I had a problem with alcohol. It had been suggested by my employer that I might have a problem with alcohol and perhaps I should go to a meeting. And I made that call. Actually, no, he had somebody called me from a young people's group, and the lad called me a couple of days later, and I wasn't hungover anymore, I wasn't feeling beat up anymore, I thought I could handle it. So I said, no, I think I'll be okay. And 2 years later, I ended up in these rooms. And I got here because I had got myself in another jackpot. I had spent money that wasn't mine. I had found a way to get money out of bank machines when they first came out. The bank was upset with me, so they started calling my parents and bothering them for the money. And my dad came into the apartment and sat there and waited until I came in at about 4:30 in the morning. I hadn't been out drinking, but I was just so lonely and terrified that I had hid in a coffee shop nursing a cup of coffee and a Danish because that's all I could afford. And wanted to keep Dad happy. Still couldn't face my problems. Still couldn't face what was going on. I couldn't be honest. And I told him that I'd go see this minister downtown. I certainly wasn't going to do it in the town I grew up in Châteauguay. And I listed all my problems. I didn't have a good job. I didn't have a relationship. All my friends were in university or graduated. Maybe I drank too much. And what this gentleman told me was, try not to drink today. There's a meeting here every Tuesday, and give me a phone call. And I ended up going there. I ended up going to that meeting a week later, and I didn't drink. And I didn't drink because I didn't have any money. Finished work at 4. The meeting started at 7. I showed up at 4:30. Didn't know what to do, and I hung around downtown, nursing a club soda, and then finally got to that meeting at 7:30, 7:15. And they sent me to another one, which was in this hall here, Tuesday Beginners. And that was in the first Tuesday of February in 1982. Now, I did not stay sober. I have not stayed sober since that time. I did manage to get a slip in there for 10 months. It's one of those. I came in and it wasn't hard to stay sober. It really wasn't that difficult for me the first time around. So I followed some of the suggestions. I finally got a sponsor when I was about 9 months sober. Didn't have one for the first time. I was working shift work and I couldn't figure out how I could get to as many meetings as everybody was suggesting, because there were only 2 noon meetings and both of them were on a Wednesday. So when I'm working 4 to 12, I can't get to 90 and 90. And I learned how to stay sober without going to a lot of meetings, which was a curse and a blessing at the same time. Because it didn't force me to learn, it didn't force me to reach out and talk to people. And when things were going okay, it was no big deal. When things were going rough, whether it was self-induced, whether it was an outside influence, problems at work, I hadn't learned all the tools that everybody had suggested. I hadn't learned how to put them into my life. Sure, it was easy for me to talk about turning my will over to God when it was concerning alcohol. I wasn't going to drink. But it certainly wasn't in other personal matters. I wasn't willing to turn my life over. You know, I remember a guy getting sober, and he was living in the Sally Ann. And by the time he was 6 months sober, he had a job. So in my mind, I had a job when I got sober. I hadn't lost it, barely. But I hadn't lost it, so now I'm a year and a half sober. Where's my promotion? I had this concept of linear growth, that if they start there and they get to there, I should start here and get further up the chain. And I firmly believe that's not the way recovery is now. But I certainly felt that way back then. Eventually, I drank again. I had put myself in a situation where I was not talking to members. I was not going to a lot of meetings. I was still working shift work. The sponsor I had was in name only. I had started dating his old girlfriend. That probably explains one of the reasons I stopped talking to him. But I didn't go out and get another one. I didn't go out and find another way to learn more about this program and incorporate it in my life. And I was sitting in a bar exhausted after being up around 18 hours. And I thought I was safe sitting in that bar because I only had $20 in my pocket. And I can remember my attitude switching and just saying, fuck it. And I ordered that first drink and it went down smooth and everything tingled and it was pretty good. I ordered a second drink, which means I don't have a lot of money left now. And I still have to get home and get some sleep because I've got to go to work around midnight. And it must have been around 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And that second one went down and I just wanted more. I didn't have the money. I didn't know how to deal with it. That was easy enough. I watched the other guy stagger out of the place and leave this table full of beer. So I just walked over and the waitress wants to sell me something. No. And I'm picking all the full bottles off and putting them in front of me and starting to drinking them. And I got sick as a dog, got in a cab, went home, threw up, called in sick, woke up the next morning and told myself it was the flu. Didn't drink again for 6 weeks. Didn't tell anybody that I started drinking again. He drank again. I didn't get sick. I don't recall getting sick. The mess I made that particular night out was not as bad. Still didn't tell anybody. 4 weeks later, until each was getting closer and closer. By the time the 10 months had come along, ended for that slip, I was an emotional basket case again. I hadn't gone to some of the depths that I had gone physically the first time. I hadn't created as big a mess. I certainly created more messes and jackpots, as they call them. But I just couldn't take it. And I wasn't sure which way was up. I wasn't thinking straight, and I got checked into Beaver. And that was in September of 1985. And by the grace of God, the patience of you people here, I haven't had to pick up a drink since then. I say the patience of you people because I was not always sociable. I was not always approachable. There were many months or years that I was like that. When I got out of Beaver, I was scared. I didn't know if I could stay sober, but I knew what I had to do, and I was able to do some of those things right away. That's the put a fear into me. I had friends that I fell back into some of my bad habits of hanging out in bars, not going to as many meetings, doing some things that were not very sane. And I started to get scared. And those friends, some of them stayed sober for a little while and some of them did not. But I started walking away from the bars. I'd still be a little bit insane in that I'd look at it and say, oh yeah, my Tuesday meeting's at 7 o'clock. At 6 o'clock I'm going to leave the pool hall. I'll see you guys later. And I'd run off to the meeting. I'd go out for coffee for an hour or so. And then I would scooch back and play pool with them at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. Not the sanest behavior, but I was touching base to make sure that I at least came to some meetings. The so much has happened. There were phases in my life that it was certainly white knuckle sobriety. There's phases since I've been in these rooms where it's been the grace of a power that I do not understand. There is no doubt about that. I remember the first years. I'd be walking home from work. It'd be midnight. It'd be a summer's night. And I was living in St. Henry, working downtown, so I'm walking along St. Catherine Street, thinking that, I'm thirsty tonight. I want a beer. I want a drink. I'm tired of this. And I'd bump into members that were going for ice cream. And I'd join them. The craving would pass. I would have a sense of belonging again, of the fellowship as they talk about. And I would go home and get a good night's sleep. Which is good. But I let it ride like that for too long. The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous has pulled my butt out of the fire more than once. But there's so much more if I'm willing to open my mind and my heart to it. And I need to do both, because I can intellectualize, I can, you know, poke holes in arguments. Whether they're valid or not, doesn't matter, because I start playing that little game in my own head. Whether they're real or not, it's that game once it starts. I had a sponsor for years that told me that in the spirit of how it's asked, in the spirit, not to the letter of the book or anything else. Over the last 20 years, there have been rough patches. I mean, I remember at 6.5 years thinking sobriety is not supposed to be like this. And I had a fella come up. I said that at a meeting, actually, when I was speaking. And I had a fella come up to me. He says, "Thanks for your talk, your honesty. I could really identify with you. And I felt a sense and connection there." And it only took me another 3 years to ask him to be my sponsor. Duh. I had an opportunity there. I had something put in my path. And I did not follow through. That gentleman is still a dear friend. He doesn't live in the city anymore, but he was my sponsor for many years, and we're still in contact. I need the faith. I need the higher power, and I need the fellowship. And the only way that I can get all three in my life is by following the suggestions, by getting active, by praying, by asking for help, by getting a sponsor. Staying away from a drink is not enough anymore. I need more. I want more. And it comes in ebbs and flows. I have a career now instead of a job. I had a job for many years. I went back to school and re-entered the workforce just before I was 40. I've dealt with mental health issues in my family. I have a brother who's schizophrenic and a sister who's, I think the technical term is nut bar. So, you know, there's been insanity and craziness around me, but I haven't had to pick up a drink. I've buried friends who went out on the slip and overdosed, and I haven't had to pick up a drink. And I've witnessed exciting emotional events as well. Friends having children, myself having a child, and having a child in my life, a family. I never thought those things were going to happen. Even when I was over 10 years sober. And they did. I now have a career that will be sending me overseas in a few weeks. I'll be off to India for a month. And this was a guy that I thought I was going to be working in a Stockholm for years. And it didn't happen. It changed. Is it going to happen to everybody? Are you going to get the same thing that I got? I don't know. But I do believe that if you come here, you ask for help, you're open to let a higher power in your life, that things will get better. Maybe not the situation, but you'll learn how to deal with it. And there's a network of fellows here to listen, to help, to guide, and I wouldn't have made it without you, I wouldn't have made it without these meetings, and I wouldn't have made it without the higher power. I hope that you all find those things. Thank you very much.